For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's Just for Variety. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. On today's episode, I'm talking to Joe Taslim. The 39-year-old Indonesian actor and former martial arts champion plays the iconic Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat, Warner Brothers' new adaptation of the video game of the same name. Taslim talks about being cast in the movie and the first time he played Mortal Kombat as a young boy. Plus, he also reveals that he's already signed on for Mortal Kombat sequels. I spoke to Taslim from his home in Indonesia, where he had recently attended the COVID-safe premiere of Mortal Kombat with family and friends. And just a quick note to let you know that some of this interview does contain spoilers. Hello, hello.
Good morning from Indonesia. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you? It must be evening there, right?
It is 5:59 p.m. What time is it where you are?
It's 8 a.m. So we're good. We're still good. How are you?
I'm good. So how excited are you that the movie is finally going to be seen?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I watched the movie yesterday here.
Yeah.
We had Indonesian premiere last night. And then it was super, everybody just, you know, loved the movie because it's just so much fun. It's so much fun movie. It's a perfect movie that you want to see, especially, you know, the energy. You want to come back to the theater. You need this type of movie. Yeah.
So what was the premiere like in Indonesia last night? Do you have a red carpet or?
unfortunately not, Mark. Unfortunately, because we're still in kind of like, Indonesia is still kind of like recovering slow. So no red carpet. It's just family, close friends, and the press, and the Warner Brothers Indonesia. So I think the point is to make people aware. I think everybody wants to use this momentum, me being part of this amazing franchise that could bring people back to the theater. You know, I think that's the message. That's the mission of everybody wants to do, because the industry is dying here after a year and a half almost. People just stop going to the theater. So I think Mortal Kombat is a perfect movie that I hope people, you know, slowly, you know, after Kong, Mortal Kombat, and other more great movies that bring people to watch movies in an old-fashioned way.
So what was it like watching it with your family and friends? What did they think?
Well, I mean, everybody got surprised because they said like, oh my God, you're so evil on screen. And look at you in the reality. It's so funny. So everybody like, I know, no, this is the first time that I want you to die. you're a nice guy. I don't want anything to happen to you. But in that, on the screen, when I watch you, I want you to die. You just die. You're just so vicious. Well, I mean like, well, that's the role. There's nothing I can do, right? If you feel that way, then it means it's good.
That means you got people feeling. You got people feeling they want you to die. You did your work.
Yeah. Well, antagonist is pretty tricky role. In order to do it right, people need to hate you.
Yes. So tell me about the phone call you get. They want you to play, not just be in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
but they want you to play Sub-Zero.
Yeah. Well, I got the phone call. My agent called me out of nowhere. I think it was weekend. Pretty sure that's why I got surprised. And then they told me that Warner Brothers is doing Mortal Kombat, and then they want you to be part of it. I said, like, they wanted me to do the tape. No. They want you to be part of it. I mean, like, is this an offer? Yeah, it's an offer. They want you to be part of it. And then who else? No one. What do you mean, no one? I mean, who else in the movie? Usually you ask that because you want to know what kind of movie they're structuring, right? And then no one, it's just you for now. Is this a joke? And then, yeah, I mean, but when they said like, and I got curious, I said like, which character they want me to play in Mortal Kombat? There are a lot of characters there. And they told me they wanted you to play Sub-Zero. Because I play Mortal Kombat, I know like which Sub-Zero, because there are two Sub-Zeros. Which one? I said, the brother, the older brother. Oh, the first one. And then I got intrigued. I got like, oh, okay, this is something. Because I love Sub-Zero and I grew up playing Mortal Kombat. And then I know the first Sub-Zero is actually is going to turn to my favorite character in Mortal Kombat of all time, Noob Saibot. So that part straight away got me. I got hooked straight away. I was like, the first one, it means the journey of this character is going to be my favorite character, Noob Saibot. I was like, okay. So what they want me to do? Nothing. They want you to do nothing. They just want you respond. When you respond, what do you think? Yeah, I was like, sure, let's do it. And then I remember I asked my son, he's 10, no, he's not allowed to play Mortal Kombat until now, but he watched a lot of YouTube videos about Mortal Kombat. And, you know, kids nowadays, very hard, you know, they always find a way to watch those things. Well, I used to be a kid, I know. So I asked my kid, hey, which character you think good for me if I'm in Mortal Kombat? Nah, come on, you're not going to be in that movie. No, they're doing it. I mean, I'm in a phone call right now with my agent. They asked me to be part of it. I said, which one do you think that fits me? I think you kind of look like the character in a game, Sub-Zero in a game. So I think you're perfect to play Sub-Zero. So I was like, really? Yeah, in the game, I thought it was you. A lot of my friends said it was you. Okay. And then it just encouraged me a lot. You know, I got the support from the kid. And then I'm a huge fan of the game. He's behind Noob Saibot Sub-Zero. So straight away I said, like, guys, just no matter what, you know, I don't care about numbers, all those stuff that you guys are going to do. But me, the movie is my passion. Acting is my life. So this is something I want to do. Just don't mess it up.
So do you remember the first time you played Mortal Kombat?
I remember I was 12, 13 years old. It was Sega. But, you know, I was born in South Sumatra. We were so poor, so I didn't have the console because it's expensive. I went to my friend's house like, every day to play the game. But, you know, because you don't own the console. So you get there like 10 kids like lining up, you know, who wins keeps playing and who lose, you know, take turn. So it take me like to get to my part is like 40 minutes and then. It's just hard, you know. Back in old days, I didn't have the luxury of, you know, arcade because it's expensive for us back then. Yeah.
Right. So you get on the set the first day. What's going through your mind? You're like, okay, Mortal Kombat. I mean, it's so iconic.
Well. Every day was just super stoked for me, excited. And I remember the first day I wore the suit. I think that was memorable, that I thought, you know, this is funny, you know, because the suit, because I'm going to wear this. This is the fitting of the suit. So I came to the office and then they put all those layers to myself. I'm like, wow, so cool. Look at me and look myself in the mirror. Damn, no, I feel like I'm Sub-Zero. This is reality, you know, when you read the script, it's just you imagining all those stuff in your head. But when you're in that costume, when I wear in that costume, everything is just, you know, unfold and clear. It looks so dope, amazing design. And then I tried to walk. I couldn't walk. It was so heavy and stiff. I was like, I mean, is this costume supposed to be just, you know, am I going to fight in this costume? Yes. I was like, oh my God. I mean, are you, how? I couldn't even walk. And then, of course, they thought about it. Oh, we have another design. It's still the same, but it's just a lighter material. But it's still the same. It's still going to make you stiff and then heavy. But they cheated a little bit, so it's not really that heavy, but still kind of tricky. It took me 3 weeks to adjust with the weight. And then I lost 4 to 5 kilos because every day, you know, in that suit, walking around, doing action stuff, you know, at the end of the day, you get to take it off and it just your body just flooded and everything and like all water. So I lost 3-4 kilos. And then which I like, it's good. Until like halfway I came to the feeding again. It's like, why the suit now is so big? Because I lost a lot of weight. It's heavy. Every day is training for me. Oh, we have to adjust it because now it doesn't fit anymore because again smaller. So that's funny. Sorry about it. Yeah.
So I'm assuming you did all your own stunts and all your own fighting. Mm-hmm. One, tell me about the day you got hurt. Was there at least one day where you came home and you're like, I'm hurting?
Yeah. Yeah.
And was there a stunt or a fight you really wanted to do? And they were like, there's no way the insurance company is going to cover that.
Oh, yeah. Well, every day in the first 3 weeks was just hell because it's kind of like solid material. So a scratch here and there on, you know, in the junctions of layers. Yeah. And then your body kind of like shocked because now you have 15 kilos every day that you have to wear for 7-8 hours for at least 3 weeks. At least first 3 weeks was a bit hell for me. I couldn't like, oh, back pain, neck pain. I walk like a grandpa every day. On my back. And then Louis kind of like, what happened to you? The suit, you know, it's not about the fight anymore. It's the suit's hurting me every second. So the suit is actually my biggest challenge because the fight scenes, and I did a lot of fight scenes in my previous movies. And I kind of like, for me, they're fun. They're like, for me, it's like a ballet for a ballerina. They're like, for me, it's just beautiful dance. So I love doing the fight scene because for me, it never feel like a work. Even though sometimes you get hit in the face or or hit someone in the face. But for me, that's the fun of it. I don't know, probably it's weird. But for me, it has to happen to me to create a beautiful work. Sometimes that's to happen. And the only thing that you want to have in your mind, that the last thing you want to do is to hurt your co-actor. But sometimes it happens and then it's beautiful because it was unintentional. And then both of you want to make a great fight scene. So that's probably something I dig for when I work in a fight scene that's beautiful and dangerous. the second one. Sorry. The second one, that I think there's a one jump that doing the twist in the air with the heavy suit and then it's so hard to move. And then they said like, we're not going to let you do this. I was like, why? Because it's so dangerous. You know, with the suit, we have to fly you and twist you in the air and drop you down. Of course, it's a double job. It's not your job anymore. We have stunt people that can do it for you. Really. But are you going to see, you know, if people see my face there, it's not me. People are going to get angry. No, don't worry about it. We know, Hollywood, we do this for decades. You know, all those actors who can't fight, we made them look awesome on screen. They made them look badass. So don't worry about it. You did like 90% already. So this part, you know, you got to, you know, give the job to someone else. Otherwise, people are going to hate you. You're double going to like, you make me jobless. Okay, I'm like, all right, do it. So that's the part. That's the fun one as well.
We're going to take a short break from my interview with Tasm right now for a peek inside this week's Just for Variety column. Attention, Anna Kendrick. You worked with a major Twilight fan, aka a Twihard, in your new Netflix space thriller, Stowaway. Kendrick's co-star, Shamir Anderson, tells me that he actually didn't tell Kendrick, who played Jessica Stanley in the teen vampire franchise, about his love of all things Twilight.
So is your favorite Anna Kendrick movie Twilight?
That's funny you ask, because I do like Twilight, but the one that got me...
Wait, I'm not letting you walk away from that. You're a Twihard?
I was a Twihard. I'm from Toronto, and they used to have these things called Live at Much. It's like our TRL. And mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson and everybody came downtown, and I went, and I stood in the crowd, and I was screaming, and I didn't get any autographs, but I watched all the Twilights. They filmed in Vancouver, so like it was Canadian yeah. pride for me. But yes, I was a Twihard. And then when Taylor, you know, I was definitely more Rob than I was Taylor Lauder. Just gonna put it out there. I'm sorry. You caught me.
So wow, I didn't, you know what, was not expecting to hit that. Did you tell Anna?
Nope, did not tell Anna. But guess what? Surprise, Mark. Now not only Anna knows, but the world knows too.
Now, here's more of Mortal Kombat star Joe Taslim.
Tell me about balancing the film. You know, this is obviously a film that has a lot of fans built in. Mm-hmm. How do you balance? You want the fans to be satisfied, but you also want people who don't know that much about Mortal Kombat to also come into the movie and enjoy it and not worry that they have to know every single detail. How much do you worry or think about the fans who are such diehard fans that they are going to watch this and go over with a very fine tooth comb? Do you worry about that? Do you think about that?
I think about that a lot, but I know for sure that the path that we want to do is it's for the fans first. Mm. For this game is already been 30 years so far, yeah? And huge success, one Mortal Kombat to another. So this movie, I think the main priority for me especially is for the fans first. So in order to have that balance, of course, the writer thought about it, studio thought about it, because what if non-Mortal Kombat player want to watch the movie and then they get, I don't understand this movie. So that's probably is quite technical for the scriptwriter, director to balance it. But for me, if you get the fans, they're like, wow, it's just like probably, I don't know how many Mortal Kombat fans all over the world. If you get the fans, you're fine. You know, in terms of business, this movie, 30 years of, you know, has been 30 years of success in the game. And if you get the fans' heart, you're fine. And then bonus, you get people that want to know, actually, this movie should be something that when they watch the movie, they want to play the game. Because we need to get the people who play the game to watch the movie. But actually, if the movie is doing so good for the fans, this movie could be a bridge that people are like, wow, I want to play this game.
Right.
So actually, the other way around, in my opinion, it has to be that way, rather than to focus to just make a movie that non-fans would understand but disappointed the fans, or change a lot of things to make it like, you know, remake usually, so the fans get disappointed, then it's actually not cool as well. When they get disappointed, and the only community that it's important to watch the movie disappointed, then it's hard to get, you know, the others.
Right. So how many killings do you do during the movie? Did you keep count?
A lot. Well, main character, I mean, like important character. Me, can I say?
You can say, don't worry, we won't spoil. If anything, we'll run this with spoiler alerts. And yeah.
I think Fix, one character that he killed, the very important, most iconic character he killed in the beginning, that's probably something that you can see the process and the journey. And then he killed a lot of like soldiers, you know, his people that you it was, it's just so fast that you, it's just very hard to follow. I think the moment he killed Hanzo is probably the killing that means 1,000 killings. The death that means 1,000 deaths for everybody. You know, like he's such an iconic character in the game.
And I think, I mean, I've seen it, but I do think people who haven't seen it, they're expecting it to be really bloody, 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 bloody. Is it very bloody?
Well, I did a lot of violent, not a lot, but I did some violent movies that is crazy. And it's, but because it's not fat, because this is fantasy, you can go far, but of course, you know, censorship for some countries, it's just very tricky because they're going to ban the movie if it's too much. So I think the balance of it is still good. I think it's still good because I did a couple of movies that people banned because they were so violent. And this one, I think the balance is good because they combine the cool, stylish shot and then cool feeling of that violence. So it doesn't feel violent because when you play the game, somehow you see the violence in the game, you see the violence in this movie. You see there's still a fun part in it that you see it's a fantasy, you know, it's a game. So the reality of it, of course, is gross, but somehow, you know, it is structured and shot in a fun way. It doesn't really dig into the violent, you know, vibe. Like the movie that I did. You know, the movie that I did, and that comes for us, the violent is actually the story. It's not it's not for fun. It's violent, you know. You slit someone's throat. But the shot and everything, the music and the acting is nothing fun. It's just pure massacre. But in this one, a lot of fatalities in this one, because it's gross, it's just, but somehow it's just fun. You know, the vibe in the game is still there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's probably my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. I was watching with my husband and sort of when a really cool killing would happen, you kind of smile.
Yeah. It's just,
exactly. That's exactly it. And I'm not a violent person.
I'm not too. I did a lot of violent movies. In the reality, I'm a teddy bear.
So let me ask you, and again, any story we do, we preface it with, hey, if you read any further, there are spoilers. We know Sub-Zero does not survive.
Yeah.
When did they tell you that? Did you read the script first or did they say, by the way, you're playing Sub-Zero, but.
Yeah. Well, because in a game, Sub-Zero's journey that he needs to die. Because in the game lore and in the universe Mortal Kombat, Sub-Zero behind needs to die in order to transform into the Shadow Ninja, Noob Saibot.
Right.
So I knew everything. Of course, if he doesn't, you know, he didn't die in the movie, the fans are gonna get angry because they changed the history. Because if he doesn't die, he doesn't change to Noob Saibot. Right. So he like Hanzo Asashi died. The only way Hanzo Asashi to become Scorpion. He needs to die, and Sub-Zero behind in order to become Noob Saibot, he needs to die. So it's actually following the game story. So I wasn't surprised. And then I kind of like, oh, okay, they want to just give respect to the game and follow everything, which I think is cool because I get to, you know, if they continue the story of Mortal Kombat, I get to come back to play more crazy badass character as Noob Saibot.
That was my next question for you. How many more Mortal Kombats are you signed up for?
Well, picture deals, options, of course, because we don't know we're going to have a sequel. Right. Fingers crossed we have a sequel. Four. I think four, yeah. So let's see. If this is one successful, maybe we do more.
You're 12 years old. You're playing Mortal Kombat at your friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
Could you ever imagine today you'd be talking about going to premiere the night before because you played Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat?
It's Well, until now, talking to you, Mark, I feel like dreaming. Mm. You know, I watched varieties when I was still struggling, no job, 5 years audition, just failed. And Variety, like Hollywood Reporter, you thinking about, you know, if I get somewhere, you know, I'm going to be on Variety. I'm going to do like interview, like all those actors that I adore. So talking to you right now is actually still dreamy for me. So doing this, you played the character you love, you played when you were a kid. For me, I don't know. I still need to get up. For me, it just, you know, I'm in a zone that everything kind of like casual, but I know I'm hiding something, you know, I'm holding it because I have a lot of things to do and I just like focus with the work, with the press. I need to just, you know, answer everything and perform all the press stuff. And then, but the little kid inside of me, it's still there that like, come on. I just wait the moment, right? The moment probably I have to like, I do a party with all my friends that I played with. And then it just, no mask, nothing. It just be a kid again.
Yeah.
And then I want to feel that way because that makes you feel more alive sometimes, just to get out of this industry spotlight, all this, you know, all this actors life, and then just live them for like 2-3 nights, go to Bali with your Mortal Kombat friend that you played together when you were kids, and then just play the game and then be a little kid again. And then that's how I think that's going to help you to become a better actor. Because you need to get in and get out, get in right. and get out.
so when will you let your son watch Mortal Kombat?
He watched it last night.
He did?
And then people kind of like, hey, you cannot bring, wait, because all my kids, they were in Australia. They watch everything. They watch the process. They were on set. So they know everything. All those things are actually fake hands, fake hat. Right. Fake body, fake. So they're special kids because they're my kids. They like to be on the set watching. So don't worry, they're not gonna get. For them, it's just like I was there on that scene. So they watched the movie. My son was kind of like, my son. His taste is amazing. He's like he watched a lot of like great movies. So he watched Parasite like last year, and he was like, yeah, this movie. I gotta give a nod. Yeah, this movie is good. So he's 10, but he's acting like he's a critic, top class critic. So he watched the movie. Right. And like, you know what? This one, well, I think I give you 7. It's okay, right? 7. I was like, yeah, sure. 7 is good. 7 is good. But I mean, like, yeah, because I encourage you to play the role. And then a movie, so much fun. I love the fights. But 7, I think 7. Okay, 7. Thank you very much. 7. 7 is good.
You'll take it.
I'll take it.
Well, thank you, sir. This was awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
It is really, as violent as the movie is, it's fun. It is a lot. And I really do think it's going to be for the fans. Plus, it's going to bring in new fans to the film.
And hopefully, thank you very much.
You know, hopefully in LA now, theaters are open a little bit, so people are going. I haven't gone yet. Still, it's going to take me some time, but hopefully this is the start of the reopening of it.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. We're going back. I'm going to come back stronger.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank Have you, Mark. Say hello to your husband. Stay safe.
I will. Take care. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
That was Joe Taslim. Mortal Kombat hits theaters and HBO Max on April 23rd. Thanks for listening to this week's Just for Variety. Coming up next time, Justin Theroux, who stars in Apple TV's new series adaptation of The Mosquito Coast. Until then, don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark Malkin. For the latest in Hollywood news, head over to Variety.com. And remember, keep wearing those masks. See you soon.
Douglas is one of many who found a new life through Seattle's Union Gospel Mission.
I was living on the streets when I heard this guy talk about how he got clean and sober at the mission. So I decided to give it a try. I could feel something working inside of me, and I knew I was getting better. Today, my number one goal is to stay clean and sober.
And grace will lead me home.
To hear more, volunteer, or donate, visit UGM.org.